Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Lucky Land Casino. Asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
When you bet fair on football, you get daily rewards, so any day can be a big deal. So whether it's a lower league match day, a top flight derby day, or a Champions League superstar showdown day, this week we're doubling our daily rewards. Get a €10 free bet when you bet €20 worth of multiples or bet builders. Double daily rewards, because we're Betfair.
Max €10 free bet per day. Each bet must have at least one selection of minimum odds of 1.5 or 1-2 or more. Free bet valid 24 hours on multiples or bet builders. T's and C's apply. 18 plus. Visit gamblingcare.ie.
This is a Crowd podcast.
Check the mic and make sure it sound right, boys.
Hello and welcome along to 21st Century Football, a podcast about football in the 21st century. We are back at Classic Football Shirts, if we sound a little bit different today. My name is Will Brazier, and today we are talking about Sir Alex Ferguson. I'm joined by a man that maybe have a little bit to say about him. It's Statman Dave. Dave, how are you?
I'm great. It's going to have a great time today talking about the greatest manager of all time. If we don't score Fergie 90, I'm not going to come back for the next episode.
Well, I don't think I'd want to have...
Not even joking. Straight face. Like, this is serious stuff.
But Fergie up front about, what is he, 76? I don't know if he'd be a good enough striker.
Fergie was a little rocket up front. Horrible player to play against. Yeah. Strong, aggressive. Why not?
I haven't got a time machine.
He's pushing 80 though now, isn't he? So I don't know how useful he'll be. I don't know what his engine's like anymore.
Adam Brown, how are you?
I'm good, mate. I'm really good. I'm excited. Put on that episode today.
Can you enjoy Fergie?
Yeah. I mean, how can you not? Even as a City fan, if you're going to sit there and say you don't respect him for what he's done and appreciate him to be one of the greatest managers of all time, you're just lying to yourself.
You're honest. There's some people that maybe been on this podcast, still on this podcast, maybe sat near to that wouldn't be that honest.
Yeah, who maybe don't respect kind of one of the greatest Premiership strikers of all time just because he plays for City.
And it's not Neve and it's not Joe
Premier McGrath. League or Premiership.
Oh, okay. All right.
City weren't very good in the Premiership.
Dave, I'll stop you there. We are at Classic Football Shirt. So speaking on that, what is the first Manchester United shirt that springs to mind when I say Fergie for you, Dave?
Well, we're doing it in the 21st century. Let's
you
get
can have
that
what you want.
First.
I'll tell you what, I'll give you a little bit of free rein in this bit. I will rein you straight back in.
2007.
Wow.
What a shirt. Iconic.
Yeah.
21st century, we've got to stick with it, right?
What's that, Vodafone?
Vodafone? AIG.
AIG.
I don't know why we're talking about sponsors, but yeah, cool. Lovely, long-sleeved, classic Ronaldo
gold,
shirt, that. No gold.
Can't think of what you're talking about.
The Vodafone's the one that springs to mind for me. Van Nistelrooy kind of
really
era.
Newcastle.
Yeah, the Van Nistelrooy, Scholes, I think Varon, weirdly. I know that, you know, probably... You know, it wasn't an amazing kind of era, but, you know, United won loads in those kits. But I just keep thinking about Van Nistelrooy, Diego Forlan, that kind of era. That's the one that springs to mind for me.
Dave, seeing as it is the penultimate episode, I will let you off the leash a bit because there's a Manchester United shirt that we've seen, but that has a bit of history and a story behind it, isn't it?
The grey shirt.
That's the one.
The grey shirt. Bang, we're on.
I thought you'd had a coffee.
Hey! You're under the bus. We've had a couple of beers as well, haven't we?
Come on, lads.
Wish we had. Production team, please.
But yes, why is that one so unique and special?
Well, in terms of the Fergie, it's the one that Fergie got really riled up with in the 90s. keep shouting about me for talking about the '90s and suggest me talking.
I'm giving you little bit of lee space. Lee space.
But no, Fergie.
I'm Lee.
Got very frustrated. The weather wasn't great.
Right.
Fog. Blame the was it the 6-3 defeat to Southampton on a shirt?
Time, look,
Fergie was very, very good at pushing blame.
Blended into the crowd as well. I think was something that he said.
Right.
At the time, did they change it halfway through the game?
I'm sure they changed it.
Did you say Southampton's quite a grey place, Will?
I did used to live in Southampton. Yes, it is quite grey. Yeah, just trying to think of many sunny times. No, it is quite grey. So that would...
So it backs up Fergie's claim?
Yeah, no, yeah. Me and Fergie sort of on the same wavelength. Didn't they get to a nice little blue number afterwards?
Yeah.
They still lost.
Yeah. It's kind of one of those things, isn't it?
We are speaking about Sir Alex Ferguson today then. What is the first memory that springs to mind for you, Ad, as a Man City fan? Is it defeat, pain, misery?
Do you know what the first memory for me is? Probably actually not anything to do with City. It's that first Premier League win, that 92-93.
Really?
Yeah, definitely.
Whoa, hold on a minute. This is 21st century. I get hammered all the time. Yeah.
This man is a professional. He will come on to the story that intertwines with the 21st
before
century.
Before you shoot me down, let me...
Yeah, I'm with you, mate. I get you back. You got a producer.
He got a leash.
You got a cameraman being twitchy.
He got a bit of leeway. Suddenly I go 92. Whoa, yeah. Hang on a minute.
You shoot your kegs, pal. This lad knows what he's doing.
My first memory is that.
Yeah.
My first memory in the 21st century...
Thank you.
There you go. You see, professional. Is probably going to be... I mean, for me, not first memory in terms of chronological order, but something that springs to mind, Champions League.
Yeah.
Champions League. I mean, just that team that he put together, you look back at that team now, incredible. Like the strength and depth they had. I mean, even compare it to what they've had since, it's absolutely unbelievable. You look at the strength of the bench even that night and the team, how they complemented each other. I think that was probably... For me, probably the best team that he put together, I think.
Is he a bit of a granddad figure for you, Dave?
Yeah, father figure, I'd say. I was pretty upset when he retired in 2013.
Say father or granddad?
Father.
Okay.
Yeah, just to let the listeners know my age. He's someone that sits quite on a position where in English football, I don't think anyone's ever going to beat him.
No.
I think the longevity that he had and the success was incredible. And I think that's something that you've got to look at Ferguson, that it isn't a Ferguson from the 90s. It's not a Ferguson from the 2000s, not from the 2010s, but it's the entirety of what he did at Manchester United and how he kept on rebuilding. When we look at the records, three in a row, you know, it's a big thing that Manchester United fans jive at a number of clubs. That is a massive thing. Winning three Premier Leagues in a row is huge. Not been done since Fergie. And we think about the quality of the Premier League now, and the quality of managers in the Premier League, but that hasn't been done, shows how good he was at rebuilding.
But that's
something that you've got in terms of, you have to look at things in a different way, because a lot of managers that we've seen from the 90s to now that sit on there, that rest on their laurels, and that wasn't what Fergie did.
The thing is, though, it's hard because he was given the time. And all right, yeah, the argument was he was delivering, but... He's not won the league. He wasn't winning the league every single year.
He won it 13 times. Won the Premier League.
Yeah, but how many years was he at United?
But he still won the Premier League 13 times. Most successful ever manager.
I'm not disputing that.
That 13 in his entirety of his 26 career at United was bad. That's one every 2 years.
Yeah.
That's pretty incredible.
If Guardiola had that many years at City...
How long has Guardiola struggled to get back to the top after the Centurion year? It's taken him 2 years. Fergie did it the next year. It's just clean
fact. It's only 1 year difference, isn't it? You know what I mean?
So the previously to that, Guardiola came into the league. It took him a year to get the title first and foremost.
Yeah. How many years did it take Fergie?
Yeah, but we're playing a different game right now. We're playing a game where he's come with a team that's built for him. Ferguson built Manchester United in a sense from his takeover in the 80s to the 90s. He literally Busby built the club in the 50s.
I'll not give you 50s.
I got sold off for the 90s before.
Now, getting the ration books out.
We have to have a look at what Fergie did.
I'm not disputing.
And you look at Liverpool, for example, recent memory, won the league under Jurgen Klopp. They were sitting in seventh in the league for a lot of the season. City, same thing, didn't retain the Premier League. And I think that's something that you've got to look at Fergie and his methodology of how he's done it. Incredible.
Do you think that he did benefit from the fact that he got the time, though. Because you know, if you're a manager of City, maybe not Liverpool, Chelsea, whatever, you're not going to get 3-4 years to not. You can't, even if you don't win. If
how many years has Guardiola had?
Right. Yeah, but he's won stuff.
Let me interject here, gentlemen. This is not going to become a slanging match. We are not that sort of podcast. We are here to celebrate football, celebrate Fergie. I'll let you have your tennis match.
I know. Yeah, hey? I saw you sinking down.
No, I was enjoying it. But let's get back on track. Iconic moments for Fergie. Where do you start? Where do you even begin?
That's a great point, Will.
I think what you mentioned as well about the quality in the rebuilding, that was more evident as soon as he left, wasn't it? Because when you look at some of them sides that won the Premier League title near the end of his career, and then you actually look at like some of the starting 11s with... What was it when Pogba left and he was left at a central midfield and it was like a midfield...
He was a kid.
No.
Oh, was that like Fabio?
I'm trying to support you here, Dave. Good God, man. It was like... Yeah,
Fabio and Rafael or something in midfield.
But that shows how much of a good manager he was, because he could
elevate the players. And that's the biggest thing, is that the ceiling of players, Ferguson would always break that with O'Shea, with Wes Brown, with Darren Fletcher. There's so many players through the years that he massively improved in a sense and got something out of. And I think that's when you look back and you don't necessarily think about the big players, but you think about those squad players, and I think that's what it was, a squad game.
Yeah.
I think Ferguson was massively ahead of his time in terms of utilising his squad. Certain players would fulfil certain roles in certain games. You know, for example, Arsenal, they picked taller players, they picked more physical players, they picked more aggressive players because they knew that they could get under Arsenal's skin. And that was at a period where Arsenal were dominant.
Yeah.
This is not the Arsenal that we have today, that are an absolute mockery of the old institution that Wenger built. This is Arsenal Football Club, second, first, Premier League titles, Champions League finals.
Yep.
That is the Arsenal we're talking about. And the battle between them both was great. But I think going back to Ferguson and how he evolved and how he, you know, moved the club on, I think that's definitely something where you've got to look at as being iconic, in a sense that, in a way, that created all these moments. That created 2008.
Yeah.
That created the Premier League titles in, you know, from 2003 onwards.
Yeah.
And I'd say the probably the most iconic thing, if you've... I've read a number of his autobiographies, all really good. There's a moment in
how many autobiographies he's got, sorry?
I think I've read 3. I don't know how many he's got.
I mean, great bloke. Not going to knock that. Great career, but 3 autobiographies.
You don't think you could have 3?
Well, for me, I'm not going to have a chapter, but 3 autobiographies is a little bit much for me.
But there's a moment where he's talking about the Champions League final, and he's doing he's sat there, and this is pre-game. This is where it's like a tense environment. And I think he looked back on 99. I think he came in it with too much intensity, and he just simply came into the dressing room, sat down, was like, I'm happy. I've done my job. Looked around the room. It's Park Ji-sung from South Korea that's come over here. We've got Patrice Evra that's come from a poor background in France. We've got Wayne Rooney from Toxteth. We've got Carlos Tevez from Buenos Aires. We've got Cristiano Ronaldo from Madeira. I've done my job.
Yeah.
I've got you players here, and you're here right now, and it's now time to enjoy it.
Yeah.
And I think that evolution in himself, in such a high-pressure moment, like we talk about high-pressure moments in sport a lot, but that's a Champions League final. You're the manager, you've got a lot of calls to make.
Yeah.
And to have that as a almost calmness before the storm, and it shows great about his character and his ability to motivate people. They didn't need to say anything.
No.
The players themselves had to identify that they're in this position, they've got to go and do it.
But I've also seen recently as well, a lot of the players that were part of that era, especially later on, like Rio Ferdinand talking about, like, Fergie didn't do the coaching sessions, but as soon as he was on campus, it was sort of like, mafia boss, you know, everyone put their performance up 5-10%, everyone was to attention, and he had that aura around him.
I think that's a massive part of it, just his presence, and like we said before, once he retired, you sort of sense that presence had kind of gone, even though he was still kind of lingering around a little bit, but he wasn't the man in control. And I think that it takes a kind of a special kind of person for everyone to buy into. And I think nowadays you don't really get that as much, you know, with managers, because it's so transient, you know, in terms of people coming and going. But if you can get someone like that who people believe in, they buy into, and it, you know, you kind of hear people talking about him, and he's one of them people that he knew everyone's name at the training ground, at the club. It doesn't matter if you're in the first team or if you, you know, just work in a role within the club somewhere, he seems to know you and seems to care about you. So I think there's a lot of that human side of him. It kind of translates, you know, people could argue, go, oh, well, just the manager's there to just pick the team and tactics. But I think having those extra kind of facets of his character actually made the team play better, if you know what I mean. It's weird to think that, because 11 players going out on a pitch at the end of the day, but actually them kind of buying into him as a person, I think massively benefited the team, really.
He's had a few rivalries over the year. We mentioned Wenger, but also I was thinking even ones in his team. Roy Keane, David Beckham, Ruud van Nistelrooy.
I was going to say that, we were talking about motivation and kind of the hairdryer treatment.
Yeah.
You know, that was something that was bandied around.
Was that a phrase coined by him?
Where does hair... coined by the players and the media.
Was that because he used the hairdryer or was that because he had hot breath?
Because he went off, Will. He went really off.
Yeah. Would you use the hairdryer? He didn't go, play better. And he's like going...
Mate, these people get to the top, you don't know what sort of techniques they're using.
Yeah, you don't want to question it.
He just... No, all he had to do was he had one in his pocket and he'd go... do you want this or not? Right, and then they go, okay,
I'll play better.
But that incident with the boot and Beckham, kicking a boot at Beckham.
That's prime
allegedly.
Beckham.
That was like prime 2000s football, that just before David Beckham left for Real Madrid. And I think that was the beauty of Ferguson. He knew when your time was up before you even knew your time was up.
And the players that he got rid of, like, think of like a Van Nistelrooy or... They weren't like at the end. They weren't bad.
No.
Do you know what I mean? They weren't playing. They were, say, the top of the games in some cases. But to have the courage to actually do that and actually kind of stick to your morals that much, but then being able to rebuild is unbelievable. You think how many managers could do that? Where they take out one of the best players in the team.
But it's the thing behind that is even more important. Like, it's football. It's a team sport. To create a team environment, you have to do things like that. I think Ferguson's brilliant with, for example, a David Beckham, when David Beckham was at a point becoming bigger than the club.
Yeah.
And that's a massive thing. You think about a team environment that you are together pulling the same way. You have to have those socialist ideology about yourself because you're a team.
And then even just on the fact of like the managers that, I mean, he was pulling pants down left, right and centre, wasn't he? Keegan, Benitez, Wenger, multiple occasions.
So many managers cracked up. Rafa Benitez was a great one.
Facts.
Keegan was another one. But that was obviously in the 90s.
Yeah, no, I let you slide.
Did someone want to... Pull him
oh
up,
no! So, you know, penultimate one. We were on the beach. You know, we're laid back. We're chilling. But he just seemed to have that psychological battle over it. Even like the new guys. You know, Mourinho won a few, but then sort of got the better of him eventually.
Do you reckon there's anyone who really got under his skin? Who maybe took? I mean, because I think he did get the better of Wenger. You know, the stats speak for themselves, really, don't they? Over the course of that period, even though they did win a couple, I think Mourinho did get under his skin a little bit. But then it kind of turned into a respect thing, didn't it, really, I suppose?
Yeah, well, I think the first moment with Mourinho sliding down the Stretford end on his knees, that would have wound Ferguson up. And that was a point of real tactical innovation in the Premier League, and it was by Mourinho. Mourinho brought that philosophy across of playing three midfielders, and Ferguson took that. And that was the greatness of Ferguson, that he analysed what was working with his own team, with the league, and he'd adapt with Europe. You know, United played a different style of football in Europe versus the Premier League. Little things like controlling the tempo more, having another midfielder in there, throwing Michael Carrick in there in every single game with two players ahead of him. And I think that from an evolutionary point, from initially playing a, you know, a 4-4-2 or a 4-4-1-1 where you've got, you know, pretty distinctive shape that most teams are playing to that. And then you look at players that he's worked within the systems and shapes. He's created systems to get the best out of players, such as Cristiano Ronaldo.
Yeah. Good lad. You know,
Cristiano Ronaldo's only here because of Ferguson.
Which I think has got one of his iconic moments for me. What? Just the development of Ronaldo.
Well, even the sort of the pursuit of him as well, wasn't it? Because you were playing sport in Lisbon. The game had finished in the Champions League. He'd had a fantastic game. All the players are waiting to go back to Manchester, sat on the coach. An hour turns into two. 2 hours turns into three. And allegedly, that's where Cristiano Ronaldo was signed because... Fergie.
They definitely would have known about him. It's so funny that they paint that story. It's a lovely story, but they definitely would have known
no,
about him.
No, but I think in terms of like the negotiations to get him to yeah, get him in, that was a bit...
Because the story is that Gary Neville came back to the dressing room and was
been
ruined by this guy.
You've got to sign him.
Yeah, come on. Yeah. It's a great story. Let's
and the scouts are going, who? We've never, what? Who is it? Never heard of him, mate.
He's on the wing. What's he doing? You're listening to 21st Century Football. We're just going to take a little break and then we'll be back.
Hello, hello there. What voice do you want me to do? We will do a little bit. I'll just do my voice.
Do your voice.
Yeah, thanks. Hello, I'm Joe Marler. People think I hate people, but I don't. I actually love interaction with people. I love finding out what jobs they do and whether I could do what they do. The Joe Marler Show.
Joe Marler Show.
With new episodes every Wednesday.
When you bet fair on football, you get daily rewards. So any day can be a big deal. So whether it's a lower league match day, a top flight derby day, or a Champions League superstar showdown day, this week we're doubling our daily rewards. Get a €10 free bet when you bet €20 worth of multiples or bet builders. Double daily rewards because we're Betfair.
Max €10 free bet per day. Each bet must have at least one selection of minimum odds of 1.5 or 1-2 or more. Free bet valid 24 hours on multiples or bet builders. T's and C's apply. 18 plus. Visit gamblingcare.ie.
Oh no, is it everywhere? No, sure, stay and sort that out. We can have dinner another time. Amazing.
Whether it's cancelled plans...
get in the kitchen and calm down.
...or the need for a quick, convenient distraction. Introducing Goodfella's Mini Pizzas. Four mini pizzas made with respect that cook in 11 minutes. Goodfella's Minis. Embrace the unexpected.
We're all going to give one iconic moment... Has to be in the 21st century. What would it be? Ad?
I'm not going to... I was going to say 2008, but I'm just going to go with the general development of Ronaldo as a moment. From 2003, was he signed? I think it was when he came as a teenager and he was, you know, no end product and all that. And he had great... To go from there to 2008, 2009... It's unbelievable, and you see the respect that Ronaldo still has for him today, and he just develops him just as a player and as a person, and made him into this sort of, you know, worldwide megastar that he is, best player in the world, you know, of the probably going to say currently, but you know what I mean. For that, for me, that's got to be Ferguson's iconic 21st century moment. I think so,
Dave. For you, what is Fergie's most iconic moment?
I think it's unfair to say most. I think there's so many.
Yeah,
the league titles, the Champions Leagues. There's an iconic picture of him with Ronaldo in Moscow, which definitely sticks in memory. But I think the most iconic part of his career was knocking Liverpool off their perch, something that he said that he was going to do, and he did. And I think that encapsulates Ferguson, that even with the last team that he had, that wasn't a great team, but still had Robin van Persie's goals in it, sensational season that Robin had at Manchester United, and he came to United to win a trophy from Arsenal. But that... league title, absolutely massive, you know, extending the lead over Liverpool. And I think that's a big thing that Ferguson came, he did, and he conquered English football. That's what he set out to do. Mission complete.
Love that. We're nearly mission complete, but we've got one final thing to do, and that is rank Sir Alex Ferguson, which just the sentence just sounds a bit weird. So when we get to the ranking, we start off with, would you like to go for a drink with him?
Yeah, have you seen his wine collection?
A lot of wine chat today, actually.
Maybe, a lot of wine collection.
Yeah.
Big, expensive. He's going to know the Merlots from your...
Perlows.
Hey,
that's a spin-off podcast. Someone get that down.
Yeah. Copyright.
I just feel nervous for drinking it, though. You know, when it gets over a tenner, I'm like, this is too posh for me.
Come on, mate. I've seen you at Jimmy's. You always get
Jimmy's didn't do wine, pal.
You always
be drinking
shelf.
Wine at Jimmy's. That's enough Jimmy's chat. We should really like to get him as a sponsor. Would you like to go for a drink with him?
I'd say yeah, 10. So yeah. Many stories. So much you could learn from Ferguson in your life.
What would you ask him? What was the one question you'd ask him? Like, if you could question him on any decision that he's made, like that you've not quite understood, maybe about a player or whatever. And you can be critical here, Dave.
Was he going to celebrate Wayne Rooney the season after? And who was he going to bring in? Who would he want to sign? What team was he looking at that point in European football to model his next team on?
Yeah, that'd be cool.
What
yeah.
question would you ask him?
I'd probably say, why do you think Veron didn't work?
Yeah?
No, but like, and that's not me. Because listen, he was a great player. And
he
just didn't work out, did it?
I'd want to know, did he actually really think David Moyes was going to work, or did he just do it to show him how good Fergie was?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Oh, it's not worked out. Oh, damn it. So annoying.
How many glasses of wine do you have to do before you have the guts to ask him that, though? Straight in.
10.
I'd have a drink with Fergie, it'd be unbelievable.
As a City fan, I feel like you'd get on the good side of him. And then
he'd take the piss
a little bit.
Yeah, it'd all be a laugh, wouldn't it? He'd probably have a bit of a... He'd be having a laugh about the...
noisy neighbours.
The Brian Horton days and the Frank Clark days. All that. He'd be having a laugh. You'd have a laugh about that. I think he'd be... The stories, I mean, he's just... Like, he'd be an encyclopedia of knowledge in terms of football. It'd be great just to sort of go a bit more in depth about some of those like European games and stuff. It's got to be a 10 on it. In just in sheer terms of longevity of his career,
yeah.
The players that he's seen, the matches he's experienced.
The managers, he worked with the great Jock Steen as well. And that's another whole part of his life.
Yeah, and you think of the managers at the start of his career that he'd probably been up against right through to the, he's gone through multiple generations of managers there. So it's got to be a 10.
Sounds like he's killing them off.
just to confirm, Veron did win the Premier League at Manchester United.
I can't let you get away with things like that.
All right, okay.
In the 21st century as well, if he was 90s, maybe.
Yeah.
Let it slip.
Did he go on to be an integral part of the United teams after that? Probably not.
Look, you've had your tete-a-tete. I'm going to go for a 10 for Fergie as well. So that's 10.
It's got to be, hasn't it? It has to be.
Because that could be a week drinking session. That could
be a good old Marbella 2025.
You'd take him to Italy, wouldn't you?
Italy would be a good shout, actually, or just to go to Scotland.
Do you know what I'd ask him? I'd ask him which manager brought the worst wine, who's got the poorest taste in drinks for the after game wines that they do.
Pardew, because Pardew would think he's bringing something classy and it'd just be trash. Yeah, absolutely.
I know that Tony Pulis has got a good eye for a wine.
Has he?
Yeah.
Wow. We move on to five-a-side. Now, I've been told, apparently, it's not him playing in the team at the ripe old age of 80. What is he, 81, 82? Apparently, he's managing it. Dave, would you want Fergie as your manager on the five-a-side pitch?
10.
Okay. I think I'll let that speak for itself. Ad, what about you?
Yeah, I mean, 10, but you would be slightly worried that if you sort of start thinking you're bigger than the five-a-side team, you're gone. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. You don't want prima donnas like you. Yeah, that's what I mean.
If you celebrate a goal too much, or if you play too well and suddenly he's like, he thinks he's a bit too big for his boots, you might find yourself, you've been transferred to a different team in the Power League.
Look, there's a narrative here that Dave's trying to build, and I don't want you to feel any pressure. So if you don't want to
big pressure here,
come on. I mean, if you could pick any manager to manage your five-a-side team, you're picking Fergie.
So you're going for 10?
Yeah, go on. Yeah, it's got to be, hasn't it?
I'm going for 6.
Why are you going for 6? No, you can't just throw a 6 out there. What's the reasons?
Right, when I go to play five-a-side football...
Absolute rubbish.
You can let me speak. I pay, £5-6 a session. Right. I'm there to fitness, and then the competitive nature probably comes second. If I see a hairdryer, if he gets at me, I don't want that sort of stress.
Yeah, but it's later on, he's a calm man these days. There's going to be no stress. Think of the last few seasons, Will.
Like, if he saw me dilly-dallying on the ball,
you're messing
about.
This monster.
I'm there to play against my mates.
Look, he's managed all these charity games. It's all calm now, collected. Well,
no, I'm sorry. It's my rating.
I think your 6 is just terrible.
Why?
He's managing your fantasy.
Who would you rather have? Would you like a more chilled out, like Pardew? More chilled out, of like a bit of banter, a bit of a laugh.
All right, I'll go 7.
7? Why is he losing 3 points?
Huh?
Why is he losing 3 points? You've got to give me a defined risk. I'm not letting this up. Why are you giving 3? What's the 3 points for?
Angry.
Well, he's not angry anymore. We spoke about this.
How do you know he's not angry? This is like when you said Aguero didn't have a good sleeping routine when he got to Manchester.
Do you want me to go into details with that?
I had it confirmed by a source that was playing with him at the time that he had a lovely futon. So...
That wasn't the only thing that he enjoyed.
I will go for an 8, and that is my final.
What are you saying is,
why? Why is he losing 2 points?
An 8 is my final.
What you're saying is, you don't want a boot in your eye at the end of the,
exactly,
end of the game.
I don't want to be assaulted, and I don't want someone to be angry on the sidelines.
Why is that 2 points?
Shut your mouth. And iconic moments. Did he have an iconic career? I think we all know the answer.
He's got
6
ten.
Is all round. 10. Didn't win a Ballon d'Or though.
Do yours first, please, Will.
Huh?
Do yours first.
I'm last.
No, you're doing yours first, please.
Okay. 10.
Thank you.
It's 10, mate. He's got to be.
Look
10.
At you. You.
See, we've lost 2 points from you being an idiot.
So that is 88.
I love how he made you do yours first.
How is he not the perfect complete score here?
Look, when I ask for your score, you give your score. When I give mine, don't intimidate me. Okay? Is that clear?
Absolutely not.
Right, 88. I think that puts him top of the leaderboard. Are you happy with that?
Well, I wanted Pirlo to be up there as well, but obviously you guys ruined that.
Well, I'll ruin it as I want. Massive thanks to Classic Football Shirts for having us today. We really enjoyed our time here. And that is the end of the episode. Alex Ferguson, top of the leaderboard. Sir Alex Ferguson. I don't want to... been given the eye by Statman Dave. We've got to chat about one of the finest managers of the 21st century and probably the 20th century as well. Massive thanks to Statman Dave.
Thank you. I'd just say, come on, you're going to change your score?
I've gone from a 6 to an 8. Thanks, mate.
Yeah, no worries, mate.
If you would like to listen to another podcast, please search for the Football Book Club, a club where instead of reviewing great literature, they review footballers' autobiographies. And they're about to read the Michael Owen trilogy. Three Ooh. Michael Owen books, Dave, on the bounce. You'd enjoy that, wouldn't you?
Absolutely not, but I'd love the review. Yes. The review would be good. I don't want to read it myself, but I'd love people to review it because there's a lot of funny stuff there.
You were stunned that Fergie had three autobiographies and Michael Owen's got three.
Exactly. Whose would you rather read? Find out. Thanks for watching.
It sound right, boy.
Crowd Network, a place where you belong.
When you Betfair on football, you get daily rewards. So any day can be a big deal. So whether it's a lower league match day, a top flight derby day, or a Champions League superstar showdown day, this week we're doubling our daily rewards. Get a €10 free bet when you bet €20 worth of multiples or bet builders. Double daily rewards because we're Betfair.
Max €10 free bet per day. Each bet must have at least one selection of minimum odds of 1.5 or 1 to 2 or more. Free bet valid 24 hours on multiples or bet builders. T's and C's apply. 18 plus. Visit gamblingcare.ie.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.